Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Happy New Year. Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I'm your host, Cicely Davis. If you're new to the channel, you are off to a great start for 2025 by joining this show. Welcome. I appreciate having you. For those of you who are back every week listening and tuning in, I appreciate you truly so very much. Thank you so much for the support and your loyalty and caring about what I have to say and joining in with me. Whether you're new or joining every week, I have an ask, and it is this: to like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. As we get into this week's haps, there's always something going on. Now, to be honest, with Donald Trump retaking this whole deal as of January 20th, it's going to be nothing but news day in and day out. So we'll have no shortage of things to report. But Speaker Mike Johnson's re-election as Majority Speaker of the House presents both an opportunity and a challenge for the Republican Party. Now, I must say, when I heard that he was reinstated, I was a little leery. I have some qualms about him. I have some concerns. I find him to be unsteady, unreliable, at times too weak. I felt that there were times when he gave into the Democrat Party a little too soon, a little too often. He possibly was in with the deep state. I don't know. I'm not 100% confident. However, I will say that Donald Trump being in office with this very smart administration, I think Donald Trump is the kind of president who can keep Mike Johnson in line and kind of give him, you know, a very specific path to walk. So we shall see. While he has shown competence in navigating the complexities of Congress, which he has, Mike Johnson, some conservatives remain, like myself, remain skeptical of his commitment to the bold principles that define the Republican agenda. Now, this is not to say at all that Donald Trump hasn't versed him at all. You know, I'm sure that Donald Trump has, you know, really sat him down and asked him his loyalties, asked him about his agenda, you know, asking him about his will and his ability to forge through even when it's difficult. I'm sure Donald Trump has gauged him. Do not get me wrong. I am in no means, by no means, doubting Donald Trump's gauging of Speaker Mike Johnson. But Johnson's previous willingness to compromise with Democrats on key issues raises concerns about whether he will fully embrace the America First agenda championed by Donald Trump. Now, again, under Donald Trump's thumb, listen, Donald Trump is great about getting people out. So I'm sure Mike Johnson is very well aware of that. But I just feel a little uneasy about the guy altogether. Okay, but Donald Trump's America First program is a platform that energized the Republican base and delivered unprecedented success for the American people. And therefore, we want it to keep pure, right? We want to see that in its purity to go forward for the entire next 4 years and then on and picked up that baton passed on to the next generation of Republican conservative leadership in this country. After all, American society and the American way of life depends upon it, right? It is imperative for our future. The Republican Party stands at a critical crossroads as a mind because of this. Americans are demanding decisive action to secure the border, rein in runaway government spending, and restore American energy independence, right? We want American energy independence.
Speaker Johnson must demonstrate that he's willing to stand firm, absolutely firm, against the progressive policies of the Biden administration. His past concessions to the Democrats risk undermining the trust of grassroots conservatives who are tired and fatigued and worn out of seeing their policies watered down in the name of bipartisanship. I, for one, am a witness to that, okay? And I'm sure many of you viewers and listeners feel the exact same way. Johnson's reelection must come with a renewed commitment to the bold, unapologetic policies that put America first, which I'm sure Donald Trump, again, has vetted him thoroughly on this. I have no doubt about him. What I am concerned about, again, and I will reiterate, is who Mike Johnson becomes behind closed doors when it's time for negotiations, right? I feel that there are times when he's willing to allow really monumental and fundamental conservative policies go in the name of bipartisanship. If Speaker Johnson is to remain relevant and effective, he must pledge to align himself more closely with President Trump's vision for the country. The Republican base expects nothing less than a leader who will fight for their values without hesitation, right? Without question. He must go boldly. He must be bold, be strong, be faithful, and be true, okay? Anything short of this risks not only alienating the party's core supporters, but also jeopardizing the GOP's ability to lead in the upcoming elections. And that is so very important because we have our eyes 2 years from now in midterms, right? Speaker Johnson has been given another chance to lead. Now he must prove he's worthy of the trust placed in him by the American people, by Donald Trump, who's the leader of the Republican Party and the Republican Party itself.
So we had someone pass. We had a president, a past president pass. And you know who that is. It's the passing of former President Jimmy Carter. And the passing of Jimmy Carter at the age of 100 years old, marks the end of an era for one of America's most unique political figures. 100 years old, Rick. Whoop. 100 years, a whole century. If you're 100 years old, imagine how much history you've seen and lived through, how many changes you've seen and lived through, right? That's a lot. Half a century, I mean, a whole century you've been alive. Wow. He had a great run, okay? Known as a great humanitarian, I'm talking post-president, okay? Carter's post-presidency accomplishments earned him near universal admiration. Absolutely. Undeniably. Even from those who were less than enthusiastic about his time in office, okay? His dedication to causes like Habitat for Humanity and global health initiatives highlighted his genuine compassion for people. He truly genuinely cared for people all across the world. However, let's not rewrite history here. Carter's tenure as president of the United States was less than stellar. It's not about me trying to put some darkness on this. I just need to not memory hole anything, okay? Less than stellar, marked by economic malaise, skyrocketing inflation, and a foreign policy that often seemed more about hope than it was about strategy. Now, it is fair to say that Carter was perhaps too nice a man for the brutal realities of presidential leadership. That's my opinion. He was a nice guy, but nice guys aren't great leaders in Washington, D.C. That's the problem. His well-intended but overly idealistic approach left him outmaneuvered on both the domestic and international stage. And I'm speaking as president, okay? From his mishandling of the Iran hostage crisis to his inability to address the energy crisis effectively, Carter's presidency often fell adrift. Now, the problem with this is just very remindful of the Biden administration. While Republicans might admire his sincerity and decency, his lack of decisive leadership and firm conviction in the face of adversaries made him ill-suited for the highest office in the land. That's my only opinion. He was a great man, great humanitarian, absolutely did great things undeniably, but maybe too nice for DC and the DC machine. You need to be a beast. You got to be a soldier to be in DC. Let's be honest. Okay. Good intentions, after all, don't always translate to good governance. In the end, Jimmy Carter's legacy will likely be defined less by his presidency and more by his remarkable post-presidency contributions. He excelled as a statesman, a philanthropist, a symbol of humanity, a symbol of humility, roles in which his kindness and optimism shined. But for all his personal virtues, the presidency requires a different skill set. Let's say that. It requires toughness, right? Vision, and the ability to make the hard decisions that Carter often struggled with. While we honor his life and contributions, let's not forget the lessons of his administration. Leadership, as Carter himself might agree, is about more than just being a good person. It's really, truly about getting results. So, homage to a great man, a great humanitarian, Jimmy Carter, 100 years old. And as you all know, we've had tragedy. We've been attacked in New Orleans on New Year's Eve Day. This is a call for law and order, to say the least. As Americans prepared to welcome the new year, tragedy struck the heart of New Orleans on New Year's Eve Day 2024 in a horrifying attack that left the city reeling. According to initial reports, a coordinated assault took place in the bustling French Quarter where tourists and locals had gathered to celebrate, bringing in the new year, bringing in 2025. Gunfire erupted near Jackson Square, leaving multiple casualties and injuries for several more in what authorities are describing as a targeted act of violence. Okay, this is clearly planned. It was definitely a targeted act of violence. The assailants fled the scene, igniting a citywide manhunt as residents were urged to stay indoors. Now, here's a timeline of the unfortunate attack. I just want to give you some bullet points. Here's what we know. The FBI said last Thursday, describing the deadly event as an act of terrorism. 14 people were killed and dozens injured when the man plowed into a crowd of Bourbon Street in a pickup truck. Now, President Joe Biden and the citing FBI said the driver also planted explosives and ice coolers in the French Quarter just hours before the attack. And I quote, they assessed he had a remote detonator in his vehicle to set off those two ice chests. The man who was killed in a firefight with police was identified as an Army veteran from Texas and had an ISIS flag in his truck. He said in video and videos made prior to the attack that were made that he had joined ISIS specifically. Now, keep in mind the source. Okay, we always have to be mindful of the source and who's reporting, because there's always a take or a spin, because we can't unfortunately trust our media. The citing being from the White House, okay, this administration reports that they have seen no evidence of foreign direction or involvement in the attack. I'm going to comment about that shortly. This is a source familiar with the matter, okay? Now, again, we're going to discuss those details a little later here, but there is no definitive connection right now between the attack in New Orleans and the Tesla Cybertruck explosion outside of Trump's hotel in Las Vegas, says the FBI. This attack, I must say, is yet another grim reminder of the rising tide of violence that continues to plague our cities under failed progressive leadership. Despite being one of the nation's most beloved cultural centers, New Orleans has struggled with a skyrocketing crime rate, exacerbated by policies that prioritize leniency over accountability, from the erosion of police morale to a justice system that coddles criminals. The consequences of soft on crime policies have become painfully clear, painfully clear. The New Year's Eve attack underscores the urgent need to restore order and ensure that every American can feel safe in their community, and that tourists can go visit cultural centers like New Orleans and enjoy themselves and not worry about being blasted in the streets. The solution to this crisis lies in reestablishing the rule of law and empowering law enforcement to do their jobs without fear of reprisal, which makes me really ecstatic about Donald Trump getting back in the White House. Okay, this is a priority for him. The safety of our cities depends on strong leadership and a commitment to prioritizing public safety over ideological agendas. Republicans have long advocated for tougher sentencing laws. And in spite of all that, we were called racist. We were told that we ignore the struggles of people of color in this country, that we turn our heads and a blind eye to racism and slavery in this country. And that we ignore the statistics and we're not humanitarian. We don't care about people. But increased policies increased police funding and defunding the police and community partnerships have combated crime effectively because of that. As the investigation into the New Orleans attack unfolds, one thing is clear. Restoring law and order isn't just a political talking point. It's a moral imperative for the survival of our communities and the preservation of the American way of life. Now, what I really think is the most grim of all this is that we have an obvious problem in this country that the Biden administration won't acknowledge. And it is this, that Islamic terrorists are at war with us. That is obvious. Islamic terrorists are at war with us. This entity is at war with us, America, Americans. And yet this administration won't accept the fact that they are in fact at war with us. They have infiltrated our country. Islamic terrorists have infiltrated our country. They are living amongst us. They are here in our neighborhoods, on our streets. Of course, as to whom I'm referring to, these Islamic terrorists, they've infiltrated every aspect of our country, our culture, our government, in academia, and in our media, right here in our own country, our own streets, our neighborhoods, right? The first thing out of a senior FBI official's mouth is, we're not sure it's terrorism. Here's the savage truth of the episode. We need to listen up, Americans. We need to face some facts. And it is time to absolutely wake up. Islamic terrorists are not just petty criminals or misguided individuals, okay? They are soldiers. They are soldiers in a war against our very way of life. The attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve wasn't some random act of violence. It was a calculated assault on American soil, and treating it as anything less is a dereliction of duty. We're facing an enemy that hates us. They hate our freedoms. They hate our liberty. They hate our country. They hate our history. They hate our very existence. They despise our values and is embodied by our weakened leader and leaders, his cabinet, who refuse to call this what it is, a war. This is not a time for hand-wringing or politically correct appeasement. This is a time for strength. It's a time for resolve, and it's a time for action. We need to unleash the full power of our intelligence agencies, strengthen our borders, and root out these thieves and these threats before more incidents and more Americans die and they're caught in the crossfire. Enough with the excuses. America must stand up and fight, or we will continue to pay the price for our complacency. And finally, more resignations at Washington Post. I don't know, Rick, something's going on with the Washington Post. Everybody's quitting day after day, week after week. It's getting tough over there. I just can't figure it out. But here's another story. And yet another staffer leaving the Washington Post. Yeah. Another day, another resignation. Ah, the Washington Post, a bastion of journalistic integrity, or so they claim, has once again found itself at the center of melodrama worthy of its own editorial cartoons. Now, Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist Ann Telness announced her resignation on Friday after the Post refused to publish her satirical cartoon depicting billionaire owner Jeff Bezos on bended knee before President-elect Donald Trump. Now, I know what you're thinking. Bezos? Kneeling before Trump? That's like imagining a cat apologizing to a mouse for the chase. But apparently the Post editors found the image so scandalous, right? So hard to take, so utterly unpublishable that they drew the line, not in ink, but in censorship. Now, Telness' resignation is the latest casualty in the great war of virtue signaling that has engulfed the mainstream media. It's falling apart, folks, right before our very eyes. Let's not pretend for a moment that the Washington Post has suddenly developed a conscience about decency or fairness. By no means are we thinking that way, right? We are not stupid. We're not falling for that. No, this is about protecting their billionaire boss from the slightest whiff of embarrassment. And oh, he should be embarrassed. After all, Bezos might have to attend another fancy dinner with Trump at some point in the future. And it would be so awkward if someone mentioned that tiny little cartoon. It's poetic, really. So funny, but it's poetic. Really, it is. An institution that thrives on exposing the powerful is now shielding its own power broker from a little harmless satire. Who knew Bezos' Achilles heel was a drawing pad? Who knew? The irony here is richer than Bezos himself. The Washington Post a paper that has long positioned itself as a defender of free speech and fearless truth telling, just gagged its own cartoonist. Now, Telnus's depiction of Bezos was no more biting than the editorial cartoons the Post routinely unleashed on conservatives on a regular basis. But when the target shifts to one of their own, suddenly, all of a sudden, the fearless watchdog becomes a timid little lapdog. It's almost laughable, but let's be honest. If you can't take a joke, maybe you shouldn't own a newspaper, okay? Especially a jokeable one like the Washington Post. The Washington Post can try to spin this however they like, but the message is clear. Their principles stop where their payroll begins. And that's a savage truth. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.